Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Who believes him? He was addressing his disciples, yet he did not say, "These signs shall follow you," but them, them that believe in all time to come. Here the word hands is used metaphorically, as in the text, "The right hand of the Lord is exalted." It expresses spiritual power. Otherwise, the healing could not have been done spiritually. At another time, Jesus prayed not for the 12 only, but for as many as should believe through their word. Jesus experienced few of the pleasures of the physical senses, but his sufferings were the fruits of other people's sins, not of his own. The eternal Christ, his spiritual selfhood, never suffered. Jesus mapped out the path for others. He unveiled the Christ, the spiritual idea of divine love, to those buried in the belief of sin and self, living only for pleasure or the gratification of the senses. He said in substance, "Having eyes ye see not, and having ears ye hear not, lest ye should understand and be converted, and I might heal you." He taught that the material senses shut out truth and its healing power. Meekly, our Master met the mockery of his unrecognized grandeur. Such indignities as he received, his followers will endure until Christianity's last triumph. He won eternal honors. He overcame the world, the flesh, and all error, thus proving their nothingness. He wrought a full salvation from sin, sickness, and death. We need Christ and him crucified. We must have trials and self-denials, as well as joys and victories, until all error is destroyed. The educated belief that soul is in the body causes mortals to regard death as a friend, as a stepping stone out of mortality into immortality and bliss. The Bible calls death an enemy, and Jesus overcame death and the grave instead of yielding to them. He was the way. To him, therefore, death was not the threshold over which he must pass into living glory. "Now," cried the apostle, "is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Meaning not that now men must prepare for a future world salvation or safety, but that now is the time in which to experience that salvation in spirit and in life. Now is the time for so-called material pains and material pleasures to pass away, for both are unreal because impossible in science. To break this earthly spell, mortals must get the true idea and divine principle of all that really exists and governs the universe harmoniously. This thought is apprehended slowly, and the interval before its attainment is attended with doubts and defeats as well as triumphs. Who will stop the practice of sin so long as he believes in the pleasures of sin? When mortals once admit that evil confers no pleasure, they turn from it. Remove error from thought, and it will not appear in effect. the advanced thinker and devout Christian, perceiving the scope and tendency of Christian healing and its science, will support them. Another will say, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Divine science adjusts the balance as Jesus adjusted it. Science removes the penalty only by first removing the sin which incurs the penalty. This is my sense of divine pardon, which I understand to mean God's method of destroying sin. If the saying is true, while there's life, there's hope. Its opposite is also true, while there's sin, there's doom. Another's suffering cannot lessen our own liability. Did the martyrdom of Savonarola make the crimes of his implacable enemies less criminal? Was it just for Jesus to suffer? No. But it was inevitable, for not otherwise could he show us the way and the power of truth. If a career so great and good as that of Jesus could not avert a felon's fate, lesser apostles of truth may endure human brutality without murmuring, rejoicing to enter into fellowship with him through the triumphal arch of truth and love.